One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Though our podcast focuses on unsolved missing persons cases, over the course of the last 5 years, we've seen movement on many of the stories that we've covered, including some resolutions. This week, we're going to revisit a few of the missing people whose stories we've told on this podcast and give you updates on what's going on in their cases today. When a person goes missing, there's a special kind of pain in the not knowing. I want to tell you the stories of those who never came home. Today, I want to update you on the stories of Tyler Goodrich, Aubrey Dameron, Mamta Kafle, and Delicia Navarro. I'm Kona Gallagher.
And I'm Ethan Flick.
And this is And Then They Were Gone. Welcome back, everyone.
Welcome back.
Thank you for joining us once again. I'm Kona.
And I'm Ethan.
And we're the husband and wife team behind this podcast. Each week, I tell you the story of an unsolved missing persons case. Ethan doesn't know anything about the case going into the episode, and he's here to provide his reactions and questions in real time, hopefully asking some of the same ones you have at home. Now, obviously, this is a little bit different.
Right.
Since you do know about these cases. We've even talked about the updates on some of these a little bit.
Some, not all of them.
But there's definitely some more detail that we're going to get into today. And before we do, I do apologize for my voice. These spring allergies are really getting me. They're just knocking me out today.
It's the DC area.
Yeah, it's not great. Our update episodes aren't usually filled with good news, unfortunately. And while there's certainly a lot of sadness in the stories I'm bringing you today, it's bittersweet, right? Because it's good when a family can get answers about a missing person.
Right. Some sort of closure.
Yeah. I mean, closure isn't real, but at least, you know, something. Some aspect, right? Yeah. So even though, you know, we have a lot of news that isn't great, we will be ending this update episode on a somewhat positive note, which is always a nice change. So let's get into it. This first story may be the fastest we've gotten a big update on a case we've covered. Less than a month ago, we brought you the story of Tyler Goodrich, a husband and father who went missing in Lincoln, Nebraska on November 3rd, 2023. That evening, Tyler and his husband, Marshall Vogel, got into an argument. The couple's marriage was in trouble and they had been talking about divorce. During the argument, Marshall says that Tyler pushed him in the face and the chest. He said it didn't hurt, but that it did happen, so he made the decision to call 911. Tyler allegedly tried to get Marshall to hang up the call, but when it was clear that the police were going to come, Tyler grabbed his keys, phone, and wallet and left the house on foot. A home security camera caught an image of Tyler running away from his home, but after that, there was no trace of the 35-year-old's father and corrections officer. Friends, family, and police searched extensively for Tyler, but came up empty-handed. According to Sheriff Terry Wagner, quote, "The extensive investigation included interviews of over 80 people, neighborhood canvases, field and trail searches, expert-level forensic technology, and equipment to search bodies of water," end quote. Despite all of that, it was a man who was walking his dog who came across Tyler's body 16 months later.
Oh, wow. Okay. Obviously, you'll get into this, but like, how, where was he in relation to his home and why did they not find him?
Well, the why did they not find him is a question that a lot of people are asking. There's somewhat of an explanation, which of course I'll get into, but yeah, it's crazy. Because on March 8th, 2025, remains were found in a wooded area less than 1,000 yards from Tyler's house in an area that had been previously searched.
What?
Yeah.
So they did this incredible extensive search when he first went missing, and they just missed his body 1,000 yards from his house.
Yep.
That's insane.
Yes, it was insane. And so a lot of people, including me, were confused when this news first came out. Because, you know, listen, like my mind always goes to like the craziest, most conspiracy theory place. So I was like, oh my gosh, like whoever killed him waited until
and then
it was searched and then put him there, right?
Yeah, sure.
But possibly. The sheriff's office came out and they said that they 100% believed that Tyler had been out there since he went missing over a year ago. Now, the other part that was weird was that they were able to make a preliminary identification based on his hair color and his tattoos.
So there was still some skin left after decomp for a year?
16 months, closer to a year and a half. And his body was preserved enough that he could be identified by his tattoos.
Huh. That's interesting.
Yes. And so I and a lot of other people had trouble understanding how a body that had been out in the elements for almost a year and a half could be that well preserved. But according to William Belcher, a forensic anthropology professor at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, Nebraska's climate helped preserve the body. He said, quote, "The driving factors in decomposition is temperature and humidity. Like yesterday, it was 70 degrees, and then today it's in the 50s. So as we get fluctuations like that, you get the beginning of decomposition again, and then it slows back down again," end quote.
Okay. So he's saying that the climate of Nebraska helped preserve his body.
Yeah.
I mean, what about bugs? What about the other factors of decomposition?
I don't know. So the other confusing part of this like initial news was that officials immediately came out and said that Tyler was not a victim of homicide and that there is no danger to the public.
I mean, how do they know that unless
his body was
completely preserved? Maybe.
Yeah. So they also said that no weapon had been found at the scene.
Okay. Like who? So, I mean, okay, that rules out suicide, I suppose, but like that doesn't rule out homicide.
Yes, that was what I thought too. And I made a video about this on TikTok and I was like, I don't understand. Like, how can they say it's not homicide? Because if there wasn't a weapon at the scene, how was it suicide? And I was like, I don't understand what happened. Like, how did they come to this conclusion so quickly?
Yeah.
But then the sheriff said something else that brought the picture into heartbreaking clarity. He said that the volunteers who had searched that area had been looking at ground level. They hadn't been looking up.
Oh, no.
Tyler's body was found in a tree.
Shit.
After the autopsy was completed, Sheriff Wagner held another press conference and spoke of the results. Quote, "The autopsy report concluded there were no signs of violence or trauma, with all skeletal portions present and accounted for. The only injury noted was to the neck, consistent with hanging," end quote. Tyler's belongings, clothing, a cell phone, a key, and a watch, were found a little over 200 yards away by a civilian with a metal detector. It is believed that those items had been moved by animals. This news was shocking and devastating to Tyler's loved ones, many of whom had been insisting that Tyler would never take his own life. He had kids, he had a job, he had plenty of friends and family who loved him. Plus, like, this fight with his husband was a relatively minor incident. You know, yes, the police were called, but he wasn't facing life behind bars or anything.
Right, but we don't know what his exact mental state was.
No, of course not.
At the time, or any other demons he might have been fighting. I mean, who knows what his, you know, personal history was, and it's tough to really like understand suicide at all.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to realize that within pop culture and things, we're kind of trained to like look out for these signs, right? Of, you know, somebody who's going through depression, somebody who's dealing with suicidal ideation. And the fact is that in some cases, the signs simply are not there.
I think in a lot of cases, they aren't there.
Yeah, and I actually wanted to look into this because of the fact that for 16 months, his family and friends, the people who knew him best, who loved him, who did know his history, who did know, you know, as much about his mental state as somebody could who's not him, you know, kept on saying, no, like he wouldn't do this. There's no way he would do this. So I really wanted to look into it. And according to the Suicide Prevention Resource Center, unplanned or impulsive suicides are far more common than a lot of people think. According to a South Korean study of people who had made suicide attempts, about 13% of the sample had made a planned attempt, while nearly 87% had made an impulsive attempt. It goes on to say, quote, in both groups, the most common mental health diagnosis was major depressive disorder, and the most common trigger was interpersonal conflict. However, depressive disorders were significantly more common among planned suicide attempters, while interpersonal conflict was significantly more frequent among impulsive attempters, end quote. You know, and of course, this is absolutely speculation on our part. And the main reason why I'm talking about this is just so that people can be aware in looking at people within your own life, right? Because from what it sounded like, Tyler wasn't giving any of these classic signs of like depression or suicidal ideation. It sounds like he, you know, had obviously been going through problems in his marriage for a while.
Right.
And even though it wasn't all negative, like I believe it was his father, I think it was one of his family members who recently came out and said like, you know, yeah, they were planning on splitting up, but he had already figured out where he was going to live. Like, you know, he was making plans, like doing all this stuff. It just sounds like this conflict that night just triggered this snap decision within him.
Right.
And unfortunately, you know, even if he wanted to, he wasn't able to take it back. Well, this is a devastating end to Tyler's story. As I mentioned in the intro, his family at least has answers.
Yeah.
And the way he died will not in any way define his life. His loved ones have 35 years of good memories to look back on. His sister, Felicia Nicholson, summed it up best, saying, quote, Tyler was such an important person to so many people. For me, he was my oldest little brother. He was someone who always had a smile on his face. He was someone who brought energy everywhere he went. He was loud, he was funny, he was driven, and he continues to be missed within our family. End quote. Hey everyone, it's Kona. Remember when I told you about True Diagnostics' True Age Test? Well, I've got more details about this cutting-edge way to measure your biological age, so let's dig a little deeper into what you can actually learn with this test. True Age analyzes hundreds of thousands of markers on your DNA to reveal your true biological age and how fast you're aging compared to normal. By the way, 90% of aging is actually driven by lifestyle and environment, not just genetics, which means that knowing this info gives you the power to improve. In addition to your true biological age, TrueAge tells you how fast 11 key organ systems are aging, including your heart, brain, lungs, liver, and more. I feel pretty good about my cardiovascular health, for instance, but I'm really curious to see how my brain is holding up at this point. You'll also get a breakdown of 75 plus key longevity biomarkers, which are things like metabolic health, immune response, and even risk factors for certain conditions. And what I love is that along with your results, you'll receive personalized recommendations to help you improve those numbers and even potentially reverse your biological age over time. So if you're serious about longevity or just curious about what your body's real age is, head over to truediagnostic.com and use my code ATTWG to get 20% off your entire order. This is your chance to take control of your aging and make every year count more for your health. Visit TrueDiagnostic.com and use ATTWG at checkout to get 20% off. Ever lie down after a long day only to toss and turn, wishing for a better night's sleep? I've been there too. I'm terrible at sleeping. And after a while, it really makes you just question all of your life decisions, including the mattress that you're sleeping on. Maybe that's the culprit. March is Sleep Awareness Month, and so I want to talk to you about Avocado Green Mattress. You've probably heard of them. They're the mattresses that are made with organic and natural materials. All of Avocado's mattresses are crafted with certified organic latex, wool, and cotton, ensuring a safe, healthy sleep environment free from harmful chemicals and toxins. Their mattresses also promote better sleep through breathable, naturally temperature-regulating material. Whether you like a firm mattress, a plush mattress, they've got you covered. You can even take a mattress quiz to see which mattress and comfort option is right for you. And you can rest assured that you made the right choice because they offer sleep trials up to 1 year and generous warranties so that you have your peace of mind. Plus, they have easy financing options with Affirm, so there's just really no reason not to take control of your sleep. Avocado mattresses are better for you, better for the planet. Head to avocadomattress.com today and save up to 10% on certified organic mattresses. Dream of better.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging, it's often your hormones too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
On March 9, 2019, Aubrey Dameron walked out of her mother's home in Grove, Oklahoma. Her phone stopped pinging 100 feet away, and she was never seen again. According to a 2021 Cherokee Times article, Aubrey's aunt Pam Smith said that Aubrey's mother, Jennifer Bird, reported that she was up going to the bathroom when Aubrey left the house that morning. She got a good enough look at her to see that she was wearing a black jacket, black shirt, a black miniskirt, black stockings, and black leather boots with heels. According to Pam, Aubrey's brother was also awake, and he followed her out of the house and asked her where she was going, to which Aubrey replied that she was going to meet someone. However, Aubrey didn't take her purse or prescription medication with her. Despite this, Aubrey's family waited 2 days to report her missing after she didn't return. They also didn't inform the rest of Aubrey's family. Her closest relative and best friend, Christian, and his mom, Pam, didn't even hear about Aubrey's disappearance until a week after it had happened. As soon as they did find out, though, Christian and Pam began to mobilize and work tirelessly to find Aubrey and bring her home. On February 5th, 2025, nearly 6 years after she went missing, Aubrey's remains were found in Pitcher, Oklahoma, about 40 miles away from where she was last seen. Cherokee Nation Principal Chief Chuck Hoskin Jr. released a statement after the identity of the remains was confirmed. Quote, "After nearly 6 years missing, our Cherokee Nation citizen, Aubrey Dameron, has been recovered today. Our thoughts and prayers are with her Aunt Pam and Uncle Christian, who always put Aubrey's missing persons case and all MMIP cases in the forefront where it belonged. Aubrey, who was extremely proud of her Cherokee culture, had a bright future and her young life was cut too short. Our marshals led many searches for her, erected billboards to help find her, and helped raise awareness on her case and that of many others over the past few years. We know her family is in mourning, and Deputy Chief and I, and the entire tribe, offer our condolences and support to her family and friends during this difficult time. Rest in peace, dear Aubrey. End quote.
So is there any details about how they found her, state of her body, any theories about what happened, anything?
No, unfortunately, there really isn't any information like that that's out yet. We don't know what happened to her or how she ended up where she was found. Again, you know, she was waiting for somebody to pick her up, allegedly, according to her family's story.
Yeah.
She didn't have a car, like she didn't get there herself. So one way or another, somebody took her there.
40 miles is a long way.
Yeah. So we don't know if she was taken there while she was alive or if her body was taken there.
Right.
And we really don't even know exactly when she died.
Yeah.
What I do find interesting, and I don't know if you noticed something maybe a little weird about that statement, Aubrey's mother and brother were not mentioned in it.
Oh, yeah.
When he was offering condolences to the family, he didn't mention them.
I mean, not specifically. Didn't he say and her entire family? But
yeah, but he mentioned Pam and Christian by name.
Yeah. So what's that about?
Well, a lot of people are suspicious of their story. Aubrey was transgender, and there was a lot of conflict apparently within her immediate family about that fact. And we talk about this in the initial episode, but there are people who don't really believe the story of Aubrey's mom waking up in the middle of the night and happening to see her daughter leaving the house.
Right.
And plus, like I said, there was the delay in reporting her missing. They didn't tell the rest of the family. Pam and Christian, I believe, if I remember correctly, found out about Aubrey being missing from Facebook. And, you know, from what I understand, like they didn't really assist in like searches or anything like that. So there's a lot of questions about the house that Aubrey was living in. She has a stepfather who was there as well. And what was going on there and what actually happened on the night of March 8th. A memorial service was held for Aubrey on February 15th in Oklahoma City. Her aunt Pam spoke, but it doesn't seem as though her mother or brother were in attendance. Pam and Christian said on the Remembering Aubrey Dameron from Grove, Oklahoma Facebook page that they are planning a celebration of life for her, but that they're waiting for the medical examiner to release her remains. And that post was from, I would say, late February, but there haven't been any updates in terms of that since then. Aubrey went missing 6 years ago.
Right.
So I'm sure it's really difficult to determine a cause of death, a manner of death, any of it. So I think it is going to take a while for them to investigate her remains to see what kind of evidence they can get.
Yeah, I mean, that long, you're talking about all soft tissue being gone.
Yeah.
Who knows how long her remains were out there, what kind of animals disturbed them.
Right. Yeah, I mean, exactly. And we don't know where they were found. We don't know if they're completely exposed.
Right.
We don't know if, you know, she had been buried. Like, we really just don't know what the conditions were.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of her clothing or belongings were with her at all.
Yeah.
You know, because that can also potentially give evidence. Exactly.
Right.
So, yeah. Unfortunately, they've just been very tight-lipped about all of that. At the service, Pam spoke of her beloved niece, saying, quote, "She was so proud of her identity as a transgender woman, and we are forever missing her and the powerful legacy of kindness she has left behind. From princess dresses to ball gowns, she was always confident in herself. We hope you carry the love you share for Aubrey to everyone else," end quote. Unfortunately, many questions remain unanswered in Aubrey's case, and justice so far remains elusive. The medical examiner hasn't released any more information on Aubrey's death, but we'll continue to follow this case and give you updates once we have them. We've covered Mom to Coughley's case on this podcast, but I've been covering it extensively over on TikTok and YouTube. Because of this, no matter what I make content about, whatever case it is, there's always at least one comment asking me about updates on Momta's case. So that's why I decided to put her in this episode, even though there truly hasn't been much happening. Now, for those of you who may be unfamiliar with her story, Momta's case is local to us. She lived in Manassas Park, Virginia, about 45 minutes from where we are. The last time Momta Coffley spoke to anyone outside of her home was the evening of July 29th, 2024, when she had a video call with her mother in Nepal. When her mom called Momta back the next morning at around 11 a.m., her call went unanswered. According to prosecutors in Prince William County, Virginia, that's because Momta was dead. Momta's husband, Naresh Bhatt, claims she had taken off, leaving both him and their 11-month-old daughter behind. After weeks of public outcry and multiple search warrants, Naresh Bhatt was arrested on August 22, 2024, on the charge of concealing a dead body. Over the next several months, there were hearings in which the prosecution detailed a horrific case against Bhatt, one that involved him killing his 28-year-old wife in their Manassas Park home and disposing of her body. Then, on December 2nd, new evidence led prosecutors to charge Bhatt with two more crimes, defiling a dead body and first-degree murder. Naresh's trial is scheduled to begin on September 8, 2025. And there haven't been any hearings in this case since December 2024. And one of the last issues that was brought up in these hearings was that Court TV had requested to come and film the trial. Now, in that hearing, the defense indicated that they would oppose that request, and it sounded like we were going to have a hearing on that issue. A status hearing was scheduled for this case for March 20th, 2025, but both sides mutually agreed to cancel it as there were no current issues that were before the court in this case.
Other than the Court TV?
Well, that's the thing. So I don't know where we are on the Court TV issue. I don't know if they came to some sort of agreement without having to have a hearing. Mm. I don't know what's going on with that. And that's what I was hoping to find out at the March 20th hearing. The only other real movement on this case that's happened since December was discovery. So the discovery process did happen a little while ago. So both sides are kind of in the midst of that right now. But yeah, as of now, there's nothing on the docket until, I believe, the pretrial hearing in August. Now, going back to the Court TV thing, fun fact, some of you may have seen the inside of this particular courtroom on Court TV before. This court was also the site of the Lorena Bobbitt trial. For those of you who don't remember, Lorena Bobbitt is the woman who famously cut off her husband's penis after accusing him of repeatedly sexually assaulting her. And that case was an absolute media circus that made national news. So I can see why Prince William might be trying to avoid a repeat of that situation.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't blame them for that. That was a pretty significant case, you know, from my childhood.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess from our childhood.
Yes.
But like, I wasn't even obsessed with or even interested in true crime. Unlike you.
But even so, I wasn't like watching court. I wasn't watching this trial on Court TV or
no,
anything.
But it was everywhere. You couldn't get away from it.
You couldn't. You truly could not. It was one of those trials that like made it onto the late night shows and
everything.
Yeah, everything.
Every news segment, morning cartoons were interrupted for it. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was. So if Court TV does film, it'll be interesting because that's obviously going to get a lot more attention onto this case. And there's so much local community attention on it that for one of the hearings, I believe it was his bond appeal hearing, if I'm remembering correctly, the courtroom was so full that they ended up having to turn people away. And like nobody usually shows up for those hearings.
Yeah.
So I can't even imagine what the actual trial is going to be like.
I'd like to make a prediction on that, and I know you and I have talked about this before, but my prediction is that as the trial gets closer, he cops to a plea deal.
Yeah, honestly, I give the chance of a trial. I'm like 50-50 at this point of us even having a trial. And again, this, you know, going back to another local case that we've covered on this podcast, Bethany Decker, that was the same thing. I was planning on covering that trial because that was even more local. That was in that case was like in our town, like a mile from our house.
Yeah.
So I was going to go to that trial and cover it. But I believe it was about a week, 10 days, something like that, before the trial was supposed to start. Ronald Roldan, the man who killed her, pleaded guilty.
Right.
So yeah, I can definitely see something like that happening in this case. Because honestly, I mean, and you guys can go back to the other episodes that we've done on this case. You know, you can watch the 100 plus videos that I've done on TikTok and YouTube detailing every minute thing that's happened. But I mean, from what we've seen of the evidence, they pretty much have him dead to rights.
100%. There's no way that I cannot see him getting out of it.
No.
Which is why I think that he's probably going to cop to a plea of a lesser sentence of some sort.
Yeah. And that's what Ronald Roldan did. I forget what his actual sentence was, but he did get a lesser sentence. He is actually not a citizen, though. So he will be deported after he serves his sentence here. Naresh, however, is a U.S. citizen.
Oh.
So a little bit different there. But like I said, I think it's a 50-50 chance that we're going to get a plea deal. I think that if we don't, it'll be because they haven't found Mamta's body and he'll decide to roll the dice with, I mean, he'll be able to get off on a
he
body
seems
case.
Like he's arrogant enough to do that.
Yeah. He might. Yeah, exactly. And he might very well be. That's why I'm only giving it a 50-50 chance. But that does lead into the only other update that I really have right now about Mamta's case, which just came out. And so they are still searching for her remains. They have been actively searching for her remains since last summer. Manassas Park Police Chief Mario Lugo recently told reporters that they've basically exhausted all of the leads that they had on where she may be. And so unless they receive anything new, there isn't really much more they can do in that regard, unfortunately. And, you know, that's obviously like a devastating thing to hear because her family very much wants to find her remains. They want to give her a proper burial. They want to give her the respect in death that she wasn't given in life by her husband. And that's just a little bit more difficult if they can't find her body. So,
but that's not to talk bad about Manassas Park PD because I don't want to get into it here, but I mean, if you understand what the theory is behind how he disposed of her body, I mean, it's next to impossible for them to find her.
Right. But they are still trying. And so with that said, Page County, which is about 60 miles away from Prince William County, released a statement saying that searches are underway there. Now, the Page County landfill is one of several final disposal sites for waste from Northern Virginia waste companies. And investigators have searched several landfills in our area already, so this probably is the last chance they have of recovering any of her remains that may have been disposed of in that way. If you remember, Naresh was seen on CCTV dumping trash bags in various dumpster locations across Northern Virginia, often in the early morning hours. Again, this is a short update. There's really not much going on, but I knew that I would get a billion comments if I didn't at least give you something on Mamta's case. So I will continue to cover it, and I plan on attending any other hearings as well as the trial if it does actually happen in September. Now, I want to end on a more positive note with an update on a case that we covered that had a happy ending.
Yay. Yes.
I know.
I mean, as happy as you could possibly get. Yes.
Alicia Navarro. On July 26, 2023, police officials in Havre, Montana, a small town close to the Canadian border and nearly 1,400 miles north of Alicia's home in Glendale, Arizona, announced that Alicia Navarro, who by then was 18, had been located. Alicia walked into the police station and asked to be removed from the missing persons list. Now that she was legally an adult and free to do as she wished, she apparently wanted to be able to live her life out of hiding. She wanted to be able to get an ID and other documents that she could only access if she weren't considered to be a missing child. And so we did cover this in a previous updated episode. And upon further investigation, it was determined that Alicia had been living with a 36-year-old man named Edmund Eddie Davis. On October 24th, 2023, Eddie Davis was arrested in Chinook, Montana, and remanded to the Hill County Detention Center on a $1 million bond. But this arrest didn't have anything to do with Alicia. Davis was arrested on two felony counts of child sexual abuse based on images found on his phone. According to police, dozens of images of suspected child sex abuse were found on Davis's phone. The charges describe the images as involving prepubescent girls, infants, and toddlers. So where we left off on this is that he pleaded not guilty in November 2023 and was awaiting trial. Well, just recently, in February 2025, Davis pleaded guilty to one count of sexual abuse of children. He received the maximum prison sentence for this charge, 100 years. 50 years of it is suspended, and he will be able to be eligible for parole after 25 years.
Right. How old will he be then?
I don't know. When all this happened in 2023, he was 36. So he's probably like 38 now, let's say. He'll be in his 60s.
Okay. Eligible, not
eligible. That doesn't mean he's going to get it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So while I'm sure there are people who would prefer that, you know, he was locked up and they threw away the key, this is still good news for a couple reasons. One, a horrible predator is off the streets and will not be able to harm any more children. And two, getting him on these child sex abuse images instead of anything having to do with Alicia spares her from a trial. It spares her from having to testify. It spares her from having to go back to Montana.
Right, which would all be essentially re-traumatizing her.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, obviously for a purpose, yes. But, I mean, if you can avoid that, avoid it.
Yeah. So now she doesn't have to do any of that. This guy's behind bars, and she just gets to start the healing process and move on with her life, you know, as best as she can. And to me, that really seems like it's the best case scenario in terms of resolving her case, at least the legal aspect of it. You know, obviously, there's a lot of trauma there. There's a lot that she and her family are going to be working on, and I'm sure have been working on since November 2023.
Yeah. But the outcome of this case, previous to her being found, could have been much worse.
Absolutely.
It could have just gone on forever.
Yeah. Or, you know, something much worse could have happened to her. And so she's back with her family now. And like I said, does have the opportunity to heal away from this guy. Even though most of our updates aren't happy endings, I'm always glad when families are able to get some answers. We'll continue to follow these cases and bring you updates as well as information that may pop up on other stories that we've shared. Thank you for joining me for this update episode. As a reminder, you can find the links to the original episodes in the show notes. You can see all the sources for this episode, along with photos and videos at our website, andthentheyweregone.com.
And be sure to follow us on social, And Then They Were Gone Pod on Facebook and at ATTWG Pod on Instagram and TikTok. If you like what we're doing, please subscribe and consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It will help new listeners find us. And the more people that listen, the more chances we have of bringing someone home.
And we'll see you here next week for a brand new episode.
See you next week.
And Then They Were Gone is hosted by Kona Gallagher and Ethan Flick. All research, writing, and editing is done by me, Kona Gallagher. Theme music is The Stork by Ketza. Additional music is provided by Kai Engel. And Then They Were Gone is a Little Monster production.
Hey, you can do it!